in the larger context of a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And we'll get to that in just a moment. In preparing for this message today, I thought, what can I say about mothers that has not already been said so many times before? And I really don't think I can say anything that hasn't been said, something you've not heard before. I know that there's going to be a lot of messages today in pulpits all across this country and around the world about the virtuous and godly woman of Proverbs chapter 31, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. And then also her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Proverbs 31, verse 10 and verse 28. No doubt some will speak about Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and the story of Moses and his mother is truly a love story, a wonderful story of a mother's love and sacrifice for her son. Others will no doubt talk about Hannah and how she prayed for a child and God blessed her with a little boy, and she called him Samuel, and she dedicated him to the service of the Lord and how God used him in his work in the Old Testament. So some wonderful stories and so many other stories that we can find in the Bible of godly women, women who brought children into this world and raised those children to love God, to honor God, to serve God. And so much can be said about mothers, and there are so many stories we could tell. But the thing of it is, the story of mother never gets old, does it? Even if it's the story you've heard many times. Today I want to give you three simple thoughts. Mothers are to be honored. A mother is creative, and a mother is dependable. That's what I'm going to do this morning. That's where I'm going. Now, let's talk about honoring mothers. Jesus made this statement, honor thy father and thy mother. And so the title of my lesson this morning is Honor Thy Mother. Honor Thy Mother. I bet you can guess what the title of my lesson will be in June, won't you? Yeah, it will. Honor thy mother. There are two points I want to make about honor thy mother. A mother is to be honored. The first is a husband is to honor his wife. This is a biblical principle that is brought out in a number of passages. Two I would share with you right now. 1 Peter 3 verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Give honor to your wife. Recognize her for what she is, your partner in this life, in this life's journey. Give honor to your wife. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The Bible makes it clear that the husband is one that God holds accountable for the success or failure of the home. He is responsible for the spiritual life of his family, the physical, financial, and social life of his family, the health of his family. He is responsible for the success or failure of his home. This is what head of the house means. That's exactly what it means. And so it's important that you recognize, gentlemen, that before your career, before your church involvement, and even before your children, before anything else, your wife is to be the center of your attention on this earth. She is to be the center of your focus. Now, you are serving God. That comes first. But second only to God is your wife. And that's how it's supposed to be. And if it is that way, you're going to have a happy marriage. If it is that way, you're going to have a happy home. There will be headaches, there will be problems, some her making, many of them yours, okay? But there will be a happy home if there is that dedication to your wife. This is why I hope that you will make this Mother's Day extra special for your wife, for your sake and for hers. So what does it mean, husbands, to honor our wives? Well, it means to give them proper recognition. It means to recognize them every day of the year, not just on Mother's Day. We hold up our wives to honor every day of the year. Honoring your wife means that you love her, that you provide for her, that you lead her in spiritual matters, that you bring her as an, or that you begin, I'm going to get this right in a minute. I'm tangling over my tongue. Got my tongue over my eye teeth and can't see what I'm saying, okay? That's what happened. It's important that you are a partner with her in the raising of your children. It's not that the wife is raising the kids. You're a partner with her in raising the children. And you help her with the household activities. And some of the guys are going, now preacher, you quit preaching, gone to meddling. Well, maybe so. But honoring your wife means that you treat her with respect. It means that you really listen to what she has to say. You value her judgments and her opinions. It means that you lift her up instead of tearing her down. To honor your wife means that you try to make life a little bit easier for her. Honor your wife. I don't believe God is pleased when we spend the day enjoying our favorite hobby while the wife has to clean the house and bathe the kids. I don't believe that God is pleased when we spend the money on ourselves and for our pleasures while we leave our wife to try and make do with what she has. I don't believe God is pleased when it's a one-sided deal. I believe God is pleased when we honor our wives and we work with them for this matter. So today, husbands, honor your mother, honor your mother, and honor the mother of your children. But do it in deed and not in word only. Now, a word to children. And that's everybody here. That's everybody. See, before I'm just talking to husbands. Now, I'm talking to everybody. Everybody is the child of their mother. Everybody. Everybody. So, question. Do you give your mother the respect and honor that she deserves? Do you? Do you treat her the way God has instructed you to treat her? With that kind of respect and honor? And I don't mean just today, just on Mother's Day. No. What about yesterday? What about last week? What about all this year so far and all the years before? If your mom were asked to come up here to the front and tell all of us the kind of life that you're living, the kind of person that you are, if she were to tell us about your respect for her and your love for her, what would she say? Would it be that you would be making her proud and that she would be happy to tell us about all the good, or would she be embarrassed and not able to say a whole lot? It's important that we show honor to our mothers. And now to our young people, teenagers, young folks, listen. When mom says clean your room, it's not a good idea for you to start fighting her and arguing with her and fussing with her. You're going to lose this battle. You're going to lose this battle. Clean your room. When she says take out the trash, take out the trash. When she says feed the dogs, feed the dogs. When she says stop fighting with your sister, stop fighting with your sister. Whatever your mother tells you to do, she's doing this for your own good. You may not believe it. You may find it hard to understand. You may think you know what you need better, but I guarantee you, Mama has lived longer than you have, and she knows what's right, and she knows what's best. You know, there was a TV show years ago. Now, you gray-haired people will know it. Father knows best. Well, I got news for those folks. Mama knows best. She knows best. So do what your mom says, young folks, and show her the respect that you need to. Now to the adults. To the adults. Is your mother still here on the earth? Mine has gone on. I know many of you, your moms have gone on. But let me ask you, will you, if your mother is still on this earth, will you commit to letting her see how much you love her? Will you commit to showing her respect and treating her with the right kind of honor and love? And if your mother has passed on from this life, honor her memory by faithfully serving the Lord. Honor her memory by living the way she wants you to live, by being the person that she wants you to be. Because let's face this, If our moms have gone on, and they've gone on to meet the Lord, and they're up, they're going to be waiting for us, they want to see us, we need to get there. We need to get there. So let's just make up our minds right now that we're going to love and respect and honor our mothers that are alive, and we're going to honor the memory of those mothers that have gone on. Let me conclude this point with this thought. You have only one mother. That's all you're ever going to have. You're never going to have another one. So love and respect her today. Obey her and do what she says today while she's here with you. If you have a smile for mother, give it now. If you have a kindly word, speak it now. She'll not need it when the angels greet her at the golden gate. Give the smiles while she's living. If you wait, 'twill be too late. If you have a flower for mother, pluck it now and place it gently in her hand. For what needs she of fragrant petals once reaching her home in heaven's land? A mother is to be honored. A mother is creative. Proverbs chapter 31, 26 and 27 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Mother is creative. You know, they say that it's not really lost till mama can't find it. Have you heard that saying? Till mama can't find it. I'll never forget my mother finding a baseball. We were out playing, and one of us hit it, probably me, because I could hit further than the others, but that's all right. I'm bragging a little bit, ain't I? But nobody else will brag on me. But anyway, we couldn't find that ball anywhere. We went in the tall reeds, and mom was looking out the kitchen, and she saw, looking out the kitchen window, and she came out of the house. What's the matter? We can't find the ball. She walked right over in the weeds, reached down, picked it up, threw it to us. If mama can't find it, it's lost. I want to read something to you that I found, and I've adapted it for our purposes for today, so it's not in its original form, but it's close, and I think you're going to enjoy this. I want you to think about how creative a mother is. She makes baby blankets and chocolate pudding. She has to lay down the law to maintain order. She can make a castle out of some old boxes and party costumes from old bed sheets. She makes threats and promises. She makes little outfits from big ones, new dresses from old ones, small balloons from popped ones, and lots of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Sometimes she makes war, but she always tries to make peace when possible. A mother mends broken toys and broken hearts, hurt noses and hurt feelings, torn jackets, torn fingers, and torn friendships. A mother is an interpreter, an arbitrator, an advisor, and a counselor. She negotiates, moderates, validates, and regulates. A mother has to be ready to handle the grief over a deceased pet, anger at being told no, sometimes stubborn resistance, sometimes open warfare. In times of peace, in times of strife, in times of temper, even hair pulling, mother is always ready to take it on. She teaches how to button buttons and how to say a prayer. She teaches how to hold a knife and fork, and how to hang up clothes so they sometimes stay hung, and even how to sit still in church. She can teach a love of books and of music. She can turn a child's heart to God and teach them how to have faith. But almost never can she teach them how to close the door without slamming it, or how to come in without tracking in the mud. A mother can count. She can count calories and blessings and pennies and children's heads in the car, but she never seems to get to count sheep. Sometimes a mother reaches despair. The dryer won't dry. All the clothes have been washed and wet. The baby bites the cat's tail and gets scratched by it. The three-year-old dumps the Lego toys by the front door right when her guests are expected. The baby screams for attention, but mom has to leave the baby crying to run answer the door as the doorbell keeps ringing over and over and over, and she opens it and two little neighbor boys are standing there saying, "Your baby's crying." The eight-year-old dashes in to say he forgot, but it's his turn to take cookies to his scout meeting, which starts in 1 hour. And now she notices fingerprints seem to have appeared all over the house. And she looks down and sees the ragged edge of the rug, and it looks dreadful. and her three-year-old won't go outside and play, and the cat won't come in, and the jello won't gel, and the sun won't shine, and the beef stew sticks, and the pudding boils over, and the phone is ringing on and on, and with it and through it and above it all, she hears, "Mommy, come and see! Mommy, come and see! Mommy, come and see!" incessantly, monotonously, unendingly from the three-year-old. "Mommy, come and see!" And mother leans her chin on her broom handle and mutters, "Next time, I'll raise chickens, Lord. Children are just too much." Then the eight-year-old comes in from his scout meeting, crashing in there, rough and ready, all boy. And he says, "Mommy, at the scout meeting, we had to list five things that were the most precious to us. And I did. One is God. Two is mother and father. Three is American. Four is babies. And five is sunsets." And she looks and her baby's eyes just seem really, really blue now. And the six-year-old, just out of the blue, just recites from memory the entire 23rd Psalm. Daddy walks in from work and gives her a big hug. And now the rug doesn't look so bad. And the fingerprints just seem to disappear. And life could not be richer. And finally she says, "Dear Lord, keep the chickens. I'll carry on for now. And thank you from the bottom of my heart." Mothers are creative. They can make do with a little. They can make do with a lot. They can do things that seem humanly impossible to make their families work. Mothers are creative. And finally this morning, mothers are dependable. Mothers, you all know the devil is out there and he's trying his best to steal the hearts and souls of your children. You know that, don't you? You need to know that. You need to remember that. He would love nothing more than to see your children corrupted by the influence of a society and an education system that has gone off the deep end. The devil would love that. Does anybody doubt that that's true? We're living in a time of unbridled sin, a time of open sin. Every evil imagination of man's heart is only on sin continually. And it is displayed before America's children every single day. And the devil is using the influence of a depraved society to destroy our homes, the traditional family, godly values, and all forms of virtue. He is doing everything he can to destroy God's people. And he's working hard on our children. The question is, what do we do? How can we stand against what seems to be an overwhelming effort by Satan to take charge of our children? Well, first of all, we need to recognize that we depend upon God, and then we ourselves need to be dependable. We need to be dependable, and this is especially true for mothers. What is needed is a total commitment to do what is right, whether it's popular or not. A commitment to do what's right, when it's good or when it's bad, when it's hard or when it's easy, when it seems like everybody agrees with you or when it seems like no one agrees with you. You have a commitment to do what is right. And second, you need to have a consistent example before your children of what it means to be a Christian. That needs to be first and foremost in your mind, more so than the struggle at work or the problems you face in dealing with your husband or any other issues, your mother-in-law or the bank statements or the plugged shower drain. Whatever the situation that you're dealing with, your example must remain that of what a Christian is. For the sake of your children, a godly mother is dependable. And she will, number one, teach her children the Bible. She will tell them the Bible stories from the time they're little. She will tell them the stories of Moses in the basket. She will tell them the stories of the 10 plagues. She will tell them the story of creation and Adam and Eve. She will tell them the story of Noah and the flood. She will tell them the stories of Joseph and his brothers and how that God used him to save his people. She will tell them these wonderful Bible stories of Mary, the mother of Jesus, a young woman, nearly married, and yet how she came to have a child and that child became or was known as the Son of God, she will tell them the Bible story. She will help them to know the Bible. I said, you teach your children the Bible, mothers. If the Bible gets taught, it's not going to happen in the public school. It's going to happen at church, but even more so, it must happen in your home. Deuteronomy 31, 12 and 13, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land. While young Timothy was being influenced by his the world in which he lived, he was influenced more strongly by his grandmother and his mother, who were godly women, and they taught him the Scriptures. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Mothers teach their children the Bible. It was the last day of vacation Bible school, and all the children in this particular class had been lined up in front of the whole assembly to recite their memory verse that they had been given all week. And they had practiced this memory verse all week long. And right down the row, these kids went doing it one after another, saying their memory verse. But it came to this one little girl, and she just kind of froze, you know, stage fright. She's just there. And her mind, because of that little burst of fear, her mind went totally blank. And she couldn't think of even the first word of her memory verse. And she's just sitting there. Well, on the second row, her mother, almost as frantic as the little girl, is mouthing and gesturing and trying to get her to, you know, giving her help. And finally, in desperation, the mother just cries out, starts out the verse, I am the light of the world. And the little girl just smiled and said, my mama is the light of the world. Well, obviously not. But there's a sense in which a mother is the light of her child's world, her children's world. Give them the lamp unto their path that will guide them to God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Godly mothers teach their children the Bible. Godly mothers will be a good example to their children. Children learn by what they see. They learn by the things they see and by what they hear. We have to expose them to what's right, to what is godly. Our example before them is vital to their life and to their growth. It's vital to their future. Your spiritual life, mothers, must exemplify what it is to be a Christian woman. Your spiritual life needs to show your children how to consistently be a Christian. It doesn't work where you say, all right, today I'm going to do what's right, but tomorrow maybe I'll skip it. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. Got to be every day. Got to be consistent. Children can tell the difference. Whether or not we're sincere in our walk with Christ, they can tell. How we live before them will have a lasting effect one way or another. Godly mothers will not only teach their children the Bible, not only will they be a godly and a right example before their children, but last this morning, godly mothers will tell their children about Jesus and the salvation that He brings to lost men. Godly mothers will help their children grow up in Christ and help them to become the children of God themselves. You tell them that Jesus loves them. You tell them that Jesus died for them and help them to understand that. You tell them about heaven and how we get there. You lead your children to Christ. And parents, you can still lead your adult children to Christ. Where there is life, there is hope. And if you have adult children that are not Christians yet, you can lead them to Christ. You can help them. But you have to be the example. You have to be that person that's going to show them how to be a child of God. You've got to be that person so that they can see how to follow. So they can see which way to go. They can see the consistency in your own life. Be that person. And whether it succeeds or not, you have to try. You have to try. Godly mothers deserve to be honored. Godly mothers are creative. Godly mothers are dependable. Now, not all women are mothers. Many are not married. And among those who are married, not all have children. Mother's Day is still for all of you ladies. There were several younger ladies coming in today, and one of them said, I don't have any children. And the other one said, I'm not married. And you still get a little pink goodie back there. That's for all the ladies, for all the ladies. And if any of you didn't get one, you need to get one before you leave. Now, don't get two. Faye didn't make enough. But brethren, it's for, Mother's Day is for all ladies, because all ladies have a mother's influence over someone. Over someone. It may be a little sister or a little brother. It may be a niece or a nephew. It may be a cousin. It may be just a good friend. It may be these children that you teach in Bible class, or even that you teach in public school. It may be the neighbor that lives down the street, that you show them what a Christian woman is. You're having the influence of a godly mother. So Mother's Day is for you too. It's for all of you. So, we maintain a proper attitude of honor toward all godly women. So, today we either honor our mothers or we remember our own mothers that have gone on. But in either case, we want to be a living testimony to their love for the Lord and their love for us. So as we maintain this attitude of honor toward all women, I'm reminded of what Paul says in Romans 16:13. He commended the mother of Rufus as being like a mother to him. So ladies, if you're not a mother, be like a mother to someone. And what a blessing that will be to them. Today is Mother's Day. And we honor all the mothers. We honor all the ladies. And we thank God for you. Now, we, of course, are every day to honor the Lord our God. And we honor Him by obeying Him. We honor Him by serving Him. We show our love for Him by keeping His commandments. And so He has commanded us to believe in Him. And if you believe, God wants to save you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, God wants you to come to heaven. I just want to make sure you understand that. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to heaven. But to come, you have to come through His Son. And that's why Jesus came to this earth to begin with. That's why He came and died, to show us the way. And so my encouragement to you this morning, if you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. And if you're already one of God's children, but you've not been faithful to Him, we encourage and invite you to come back to Him today while you can. Come now if you need to, while together we stand and while we sing.